down here at Super Bowl, hanging out with Mark Schlereth. And for those of us in the Baltimore, Washington area, we appreciate the days that you have served as a hog.
Yes.
And so I'm going to put you on the spot here because I know you spent some time with Denver too. How'd that go when you went from Redskins having beaten Denver in a Super Bowl to how'd that play out for you?
Oh, it was fine for me because I wasn't playing with the Redskins when they beat Denver in the Super Bowl. So I was in college at that point.
Okay.
And then I came to the Skins and we won a Super Bowl 26 in Minnesota against the Buffalo Bills. And then I went to Denver and ended up winning two Super Bowls back to back with the Denver Broncos as well. So
not a bad gig.
No, it worked out pretty well for me. And it was great. You know, it was time. Sometimes I think change is interesting because I think, you know, it's not the necessary change that frightens you. It's the process of going through change that ends up frightening people.
Right.
You know, because the process is hard, you know, the process, and you've got to kind of embrace it and understand that it's going to be hard. But the change ultimately is fun. And I've always looked at change as a part of adventure, right?
Right.
Somewhere I'm going that I haven't been, and it's going to be exciting, and I'm going to learn valuable lessons, and I'm going to look through a different lens and see what I can learn from that process of change. So going from Washington with a career that started out great, kind of got a snag, a bump in the road with injuries and sickness, and went from, you know, being a Pro Bowler, really well respected, to being told essentially, we don't think you can play anymore. There's, you know, there's a process there where you say, hey, thanks. Up yours, but thanks. And you know, I'm going to move on. I'm going to prove you wrong. And so all that kind of stuff is part of that kind of that eventual process and that change that you go through, you know, and it's all part of that learning curve that you look back at during that time. It's really hard, but you learn, that's where you learn stuff about yourself. During the good times, I was too busy patting myself on the back during the good times to actually learn anything about what I'm doing or who I am. It was during those times of change and during those times of process that you actually learn something about yourself. And that's, you know, that to me is what the fascinating part is.
And I want to come back to that in a minute, but I saw a famous quote from you, something about Tupperware and $42 and a new job career change.
Right, yeah,
that would have
been
a new process for you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a part of being, you know, retirement. And, you know, it's really interesting because I think so many guys and so many players and just so many people in general have such a tough time transitioning. I mean, transition is an important part of life, right?
Right?
You're constantly transitioning. You're either, you know, we say it in football all the time, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. There is no in between.
Right.
And so there's this transition process for you as an athlete. And for me, you know, when you come to the realization, you come to grips with you're no longer good enough to play. Like I never
at
wanted-
At that level.
Right. I just never wanted to be a hindrance to the team. And I remember like it was yesterday. Man, I was sitting in the film room, and I had suffered a couple of different knee surgeries in the last year of my career, and I was really struggling, And I had this huge raw spot in the bone in my knee, and every time I would touch it, like every time I would step just you know, just interestingly enough, or just putting the pressure in the right position, my leg would collapse. It would just buckle.
So
I'd be blocking guys, and all of a sudden it would hit, and my leg would just buckle, and your guy would be right by me,
right.
And it was miserable, and it was just like it was like somebody taking an ice pick and shoving it into your knee, like it was just excruciating, right? Bring tears to your eyes. So I had several different surgeries during the course of that time, and I come back to practice middle of the season, and I'm trying to make it back. You know, I'm trying to fight through it. And I've always been able to fight through injuries. And I've always been able to play not only hurt, but injured, and play well hurt and injured. So that to me was awesome, right?
Right.
So I end up getting to the point where I'm back at practice, and it's a snowy day, and we're going through it. And because of the snow, and it's moving sideways, and it's really hard to make out the numbers. And I'm watching practice, and I was thinking it was one of the practice squad guys because I was only taking a couple of reps, and I thought it was one of the practice squad guys. And I was kind of chuckling under my breath to myself going, that guy sucks. Like, he is not going to make it. And then as the play continued to move on, I was like, wait a minute. Hey, rewind that for a second. I'm looking and go, oh, shoot, that's me.
That's me.
Right? And I was at that point, I was just like, man, you know
light
what?
Bulb.
Right. You're not really helping this team anymore. Right.
Right.
Like you can't move anymore. And I went and played about six plays of that game. I started that game. It was against the Raiders and I fell down about three times just in pain. And I just picked myself up, took off my helmet, walked to the sideline.
So
I said,
that's done.
I'm done.
I want to wrap up with just a little bit about your granddaughter, because that's an incredible story.
Uh-huh.
And you know the process that you guys went through as a family.
Right.
I mean it's just when I was reading about it, it's just such a touching story and your involvement with the American Heart Association.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, my granddaughter Drew was born September 22nd, 3 years ago, and I was actually working at ESPN at the time, so it was. 3.5 years ago, and I was coming to the end of my contract with ESPN, and I knew I was leaving, but, I was finishing up, and I knew I was going to leave after the season. So it was in September, and it's the second grandchild, and I'm supposed to fly home the next day. So I was like, it's fine. I'll just fly home after I get done working tonight, and I will, see the grandbaby in the morning. I'll land at 7:30 in the morning or whatever. And so they have the baby. And within minutes, our granddaughter just starts turning blue, and instantly they take her out of my daughter-in-law's arms and they sweep her off to emergency.
Scary.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they swing her down, they load her up in the ambulance, and they do an emergency procedure, and then they shuttle her down to Children's Hospital. So now I'm getting phone calls. It's whatever it is. I think it was Thursday night or whatever. And now I'm trying to find a flight Friday morning. I'm calling ESPN saying, man, I can't work tomorrow. You guys got to replace me. I got to get home. And I got home. I ended up getting home that night. But, when I get into the hospital, my son is an absolute wreck. He hasn't slept in a day and a half. And my daughter-in-law is a wreck. And you've got this tiny little cherub, this tiny little baby with nothing but wires and cords and breathing tubes and everything else.
Everybody's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, just scary.
And they're like, hey, this is called a transposition of the great arteries. Her arteries were backwards.
Okay.
And so none of her blood was being oxygenated. So they had to manipulate that. They had a tube through her stomach. And they had to oxygenate the blood. And one of the things they have to do is before they have the surgery, they have to get the child to actually breastfeed. Because it's kind of a learned behavior. And if you have the surgery, they have a really tough time getting them to breastfeed afterwards, right? To eat afterwards. So we had to go through that process for about a week, get her strong to do that, to eat. And then...
And the whole time mom's petrified, your son's petrified.
Right.
Something's
going
to go.
Yeah. Right. And then you're having a surgery. It's like a 4 or 5 hour heart surgery, open heart surgery. The heart of the child at that age is about the size of a walnut. And they go in and they take the heart out of the baby's chest and they flip those arteries around and put it back in. And it's just, it's amazing. And the crazy thing is this is a procedure that probably happened. It probably was perfected 30, 35 years ago. If it's 35 years ago, she dies, it's
right.
that type of thing, it shows you what the American Heart Association has been able to accomplish over the years that they have been, they have been together and creating, just life-saving surgery and life-saving the money they raised to save the lives of people like my granddaughter, which, you wouldn't know anything happened to her. She is awesome. She is so naughty. She's so freaking naughty, which I love every second of it. Like I just torture, like my son, you tortured me. I hope she tortures you every single day. It's just such a blessing to be around.
Best part about being a grandparent, right?
Oh my God. Right. We're partners in crime.
Absolutely.
I always say the thing about grandkids and grandparents and the reason they're so close is they have a common enemy, the parent. Right.
Absolutely.
So I just
Absolutely.
Try to torture. I try to torture my kid.
Everything
I can do to make his life miserable, I'm doing.
Mark, so wonderful. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.